Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Cooler, and my guest today is Chris Johnson. And Chris has created an event called Afronomics. And the Afronomics is going to be a 21st century Black economic blueprint. So, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little chilly, but I'm good.
I know. So tell Focus on Albany listeners a little bit about Afronomics.
What Afronomics is, it's really a philosophy where I deal with the science of economics through an African-centered perspective. In looking at particularly the condition of African people in America, one of the things that I think has been neglected has been the economic component. So in 2007, I began writing out a short list of things that I feel African people want economically. The initial list started at 7. It grew to about 16, and now it's at 20. And each component reaches people at a individual basis as well as a collective basis. So we want to address those areas where people can do things at a grassroots level and be successful at them. So if you develop success at a grassroots level, then you can begin to build momentum and move towards a larger goal or a larger scale.
Now, are you going to have speakers at your conference?
It'll be just myself, since I'm the architect of the program. There will be a host. Yeah, there will be a host. There will be maybe one or two other people, but I'm the keynote speaker or the presenter of the actual program itself, mainly because I need to get this in front of the people and give the people an opportunity to look at the program and see if this is something that is good and is viable for them.
What gave you the idea to do something like this?
Well, like I said, I started putting it together in 2007 when I wrote out a list. Just going into my background over the past 10 years in terms of study, in terms of personal experience in business, and just really being able to talk to entrepreneurs, I felt that there was a huge void within addressing the issue of Black economic development. And so that's where the spark came for the actual program and philosophy.
Okay, when you say Black economic development, and you say that there's a void there, can you give us an example of, you know, of the void and how you will be remedying the situation?
Okay. I'll start it this way. There's an old saying that politics without economics is symbolism without substance. What has happened is that I think a lot of times as a people, we have been so focused on the political aspect until we've forgotten the economic aspect, because it's all about ownership and control over resources, not just here in America, but across the planet. What are we owning? What are we controlling? You know, are we owning land? Are we owning property, factories? Because when you own and control things, now you're in a better position to be a producer as opposed to being a consumer.
Now, there's been a number of, over the years, there's been more and more Black men and women who have achieved a level of power within the political process. Have they helped? Or hindered what you envision?
I think it's a mixture of things. Those who have prominent in the political arena I think as a collective, they have failed to address the economic issue. Part of addressing the economic issue is making sure that the landscape is clear for African people to go into business for themselves. I think that's been one of the huge things that's been lacking is there a climate or a landscape where African people can go into business without so much red tape?
Now, some of the issues that you will be addressing in this conference is entrepreneurship and investing. Can you give us like a brief overview of what that particular workshop will be about?
Well, that's one of the topics. When we talk about entrepreneurship and we talk about investing, what I'm getting at is the fact that as a people, I would like to create, I guess you would say, a revolution in those areas where we are in mass pursuing entrepreneurship, where we're pursuing investing, whether it's in the stock market, whether it's in real estate, because this is about owning and controlling resources. I go back to the Billie Holiday song where it says, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child, it's got its own.
And then you're going to talk. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. But it's just really about having your own. I'm of the school of I'm not satisfied with having to beg for crumbs from someone else's table when I want to have my own bakery. So now I can own and control and actually produce a surplus to offer to the greater market.
Mm-hmm. Producers versus consumer will be another workshop.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talk about is being producers as opposed to consumers. And recently I gave this analogy to a group of young males. Let's take Nike for an example. The average sneaker, whether it's a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant sneaker, I'd say runs approximately anywhere from $150 to $200. Okay.
Right.
But it only took $9 to $12 to put the shoe together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking about being a producer versus a consumer, would I rather buy the shoe? Or would I rather buy Class A or Class B stock in Nike? And this is what we talk about, having a piece of ownership of things.
But we have become a consumer society. America as a whole does not produce as much as they used to, right?
Well, I think part of that is because of, and I don't know if I'll address this in this segment, I think globalization has moved America from a production-oriented nation to a consumer-oriented nation. And you see that when the factories begin leaving the country around the late 70s, early 80s. I call that the first wave of globalization, when you started having globalization, outsourcing, downsizing, and privatization.
Okay. Okay, the next workshop you're going to be talking about is the role of culture and economic empowerment. Every ethnic group has their own specific culture. Explain your particular, what you're going to be talking about in that segment of your conference.
What I'm going to talk about is this. There is a direct correlation between cultural cohesiveness and economic prosperity. And what that entails is this. When you have cultural cohesiveness, one of the things that you do have is trust. And when you have trust, you're willing to deal with other people within your community to do business which means that the dollar stays in the community longer, and it helps to create other entities within that village, if you will. And it's something I call economic synergy, where basically the businesses within a certain group should complement one another, okay? Whether we go to Little Havana in Miami, whether we go to various Chinatowns across the nation, there's always this sense of, I guess you would call it race first. And I'll give you an example. Let's use Warren Buffett. And this is actually a true story. Warren Buffett's mentor was Benjamin Graham. And Buffett graduated from Columbia University with a degree in finance, and he wanted to go to work for Benjamin Graham. And initially, Benjamin Graham said no, because he had to reserve certain spots for Jewish brokers who couldn't get hired in Gentile firms on Wall Street.
Okay.
Now, that's actually a true story. Now, I don't know if that would fly in today's climate, but if you go back into the early 1900s, everybody had to look out for their own ethnic group, even those European immigrants who came.
Right. There were enclaves of Polish Americans, Italian Americans, Irish. They all had their little neighborhood where, you know, there was a where there was commerce, there was stores, there was money exchanges. Now that is no more. I mean, the malls have taken over, and the little enclaves of ethnic minorities, if that's a good word to use, is no longer the case.
I think you'll begin to see a renaissance of that, particularly when everybody participates in group economics. And one of the things that the Afronomics program emphasizes is group economics, because when people begin to have group economics, you can aggregate your economic resources and begin to do things in a manner to where you can be more productive. So if you were to take, you know, let's take, for example, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street. You actually had this kind of enclave where it was self-sustaining, it was self-sufficient. In fact, there were actually white males who were involved in wildcatting in terms of finding oil in Texas who had to come across the border to Oklahoma and actually borrow from black banks in order to do their ventures. So we've seen this before, and we figured if this can happen once, it can happen again. The only difference is making sure that we protect what we've built.
Okay.
Because of what happened with Tulsa, everybody said it wasn't a riot, it was a terrorist act, where basically you bombed an entire town, you burnt it out, and Tulsa, from that point in the 1920s, has never really been the same.
Wow. And the other workshop you're going to have, this is interesting, the importance of mastering emotions. What's that about?
Well, one thing I've learned is money is an emotional subject, okay? And you also understand that emotional intelligence is 25 times more powerful than your mental intellect. So when I say master emotions, one of my philosophies about the stock market is this. Everybody says the stock market is driven by, market factors, this, that, and the third. Me, I make it simple. The market is driven by three emotions: fear, greed, and ignorance.
Okay.
And if you can master your emotions to where you can think clearly, and you can begin to make decisions that are based on logic and not emotion, that way you can begin to master money. Because if you can master your emotions, master yourself, you can master your resources. Because you see people who are always making emotional decisions with their money, not understanding how to make the money work for you instead of you working for the money.
Most people, they work for their money. A majority of people don't understand how money can work for them. Right?
Excuse me. Right. And a lot of that, and a lot of that goes back to your school systems. The present school system that's in place does not produce entrepreneurs in mass. They don't produce investors in mass. What they produce are two things, workers and soldiers. That's really what your school system is designed to produce. Learning how to become an entrepreneur or learning how to become an investor is outside the parameters of American academia.
Learning how to be a free thinker is outside the box.
That's what it really requires. When you're talking about creating something that is outside the parameters of American academia, it does require free thinking. It requires creativity. It requires innovation. It requires courage. It requires focus. It requires a certain confidence in what you're introducing to the market.
Right. Right.
You know, and in my opinion, the present school system does not nurture that. In fact, I dare say it looks to crush any level of creativity and innovation because it may serve as a threat to the established system.
When creativity is, it, as you say, crushed. And, you know, most students come out of school without that creative ability or want to be creative, make for a society where there could be a lot of substantive change, where a lot of people think about what can be, correct?
Correct. And part of my issue with the school system is this. In many cases, the school system doesn't operate in real time. In fact, I think studies have shown that the present school system is anywhere from 2 to 3 generations behind real time. So you have anywhere from a 50 to 75 year gap that has yet to be closed.
Okay. Wow. So, and then the last component of your conference is the importance of multiple streams of income. And I find that pretty interesting because a lot of people have difficulty even finding one stream of income in today's society. Explain what you consider multiple streams of income.
Okay. What I mean by multiple streams of income is this. In the past, usually most households can operate with just one source of income, usually the male going out working in a factory or working in some other manual labor position that could take care of the needs of the woman and the children.
Right.
That particular economy is gone.
Right.
And you have a more complex economy, which is more interconnected globally, where two incomes, whether it's the husband and wife, may not be enough. And if one or the other may fall ill, get hurt, or die in any case, now you have significant loss of income. So my recommendation is that every household should work to have at least 4 streams of income. And I don't mean you working multiple jobs. That's not what I consider multiple streams of income. What I'm looking at is this. You may have a job right now, but you have to become more entrepreneurial in your spare time because from 9 to 5, you're building somebody else's kingdom but who's building yours after 5 o'clock?
Right.
So how do you invest your time to create multiple streams of income, whether it's real estate investing, whether it's getting into the stock market, whether it's creating a business, or even getting involved in direct sales or network marketing? You really have to become more entrepreneurial minded, which doesn't necessarily have you leave your job. But you have to start thinking about creating multiple streams of income coming into your household.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting. So the conference that you're going to be doing is on Saturday, May 21st. And where is it going to be?
It's located at the Capital South Campus Center.
Now, where is that located?
Okay. It's located on Warren Street. It is behind, if you go on Morton Avenue, behind the apartment high-rises, there's a new building that's been built called Capital South Campus Center. And right across the street from it, you'll see this farm where you'll hear chickens and goats and everything else. But it's right there. I think the actual address is 20 Warren Street.
Okay. So if people want to learn more about the event, can they contact you, or how can they learn about if they want to go?
Okay. Yes, they can contact me by email. That's one way. The email is libertyhallpress@gmail.com. libertyhallpress@gmail.com. Or you can call me at area code 518-360-7658. It's 518-360-7658.
Now, are you taking suggestions from the community at this point?
Yes, because this is something that's brand new to the community. So because the community is what I would call the end user, I would need feedback from the community in terms of how it works for them. Does it work for them? So the community will be my teacher in this area. It's similar to those of you who are familiar with Dr. Muhammad Yunus, who is the founder of the Grameen Bank. When he went back home to Bangladesh after he received his PhD in economics, he said what he was teaching didn't fit the reality of what the people were facing. So he had to put his PhD on the shelf and allow the people to teach him what it is that they needed. So with the equivalent of $42 that was loaned out amongst 29 people, he was able to launch the micro enterprise and the micro loan movement, to where if you can help people, instead of asking for a handout, you're giving them a hand up for them to do something for themselves. In fact, there's something in the hadith, the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, where he says it is better for a man to go and pick up twigs and sell them as bundles of firewood than it is for him to beg on the streets. So what we're looking to do is to get people to take the resources that they do have and to be able to create something for themselves. And that's really what the essence of what Afronomics is.
Okay, Chris, this sounds interesting. So that's on May 21st, and that's, I believe, on a Saturday, correct?
Yes. The doors will open at 10 a.m. We'll start promptly at 10:30.
Okay, so it's a four-hour conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're looking to do is we'll open the door at 10. We'll start at 10:30.
Okay.
We'll have you know, we'll have an introduction, we'll have possibly a libation or drumming. I will give the actual presentation, and then I will allow time for Q&A.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. And the room that you're holding this in, what's the capacity? How many people can it hold?
From what the people have told me, the capacity is anywhere from 50 to 75. This will be on the second. Yeah, this will be on the second floor of the campus, the Capitol South Campus Center. They can take the elevator or take the stairs up once they come in, and you know, come in, enjoy. If you want to bring a notebook, take notes. Right now, I'm working on making sure we have a videographer ready to record the event, and so that way people can have access to it. This is a very exciting moment, not just for me, but for African people in this city in general, because there really needs to be a grassroots transformation. I don't believe that African people can look towards City Hall or any other political entity for its salvation. It really begins, as Michael Jackson says, with the man in the mirror.
Now, one question that I neglected to ask you, how long have you been in Albany?
I've been here since May of 2000.
Okay, so you've been here a while.
Yes.
Okay. And you've seen a lot of stuff here, correct?
Mm-hmm. I have. I've sat and I've watched and I've observed and, like I said, gone through my own personal experiences. And it just really drove me to create something that at a grassroots level, anybody who can read a stop sign should be able to follow. Yeah, because there have been other programs introduced, and I don't criticize any of them. In fact, I just want to add on to what already exists, but I want to make it functional and practical where people can actually do things and have success with it.
Okay, so that's going to be Saturday, May 21st, from 10 to 2 o'clock at Capitol South Campus Center. So this is going to be exciting, and maybe after your event you could come back on and talk about what the feedback has been. And from the feedback, you could talk about what your next step is.
I sure will.
Okay, great. So you've been listening to Focus on Albany. You've been listening to Chris Johnson. If you like this show, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You could use your smartphone to hear all of our broadcasts. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Chris, thank you for taking the time to talk about your event. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Okay. Thank you.